Al Mellinger next week. All right. Thank you, church.
All right. Welcome, people. Pastor Zach, would you join me, please? We wanted to take a minute this week and do this a little differently. Most of you may have received an email from Pastor Zach this week. If you didn't receive an email from Pastor Zach this week, then this might be a bit of a shock to you, but we'd like to just do a little bit of dialogue and take a moment and just all be on the same page as the church. So there's changes going on. Things in a season where everything is different, things are different at the Fleming household. So tell us a little bit about the journey that you're on and what God has you doing right now.
Sure. So if you didn't get an email, I am so sorry for this moment for you. This last week, I gave my letter of resignation to Pastor Dave and the Board of Administration and the Pastor's Cabinet. And please know that this is not something that I woke up one week and I was like, you know, I think I'm done. That was not the process to this. This has been such a journey for me. And there were these beginning, and I would say like a year, where there were these beginning moments where I wrestled against it. And then that thing called COVID hit, and I was just assuming that everything was COVID. Like, it's all COVID, and I just need to suck it up and push through, and this will eventually, whatever this wrestling is in my spirit, whatever is this word that I, like, it'll be fine. I just need to get through this. Like, how many know exactly what I'm talking about, where you've just been, I just got to get past, and it's just this nagging feeling that the Lord was saying, I think that you have, that we have come to a point where who you are and the way that you are gifted and skilled, the way you're designed, this evolving that's happening in you, that it's time for you to step to whatever the next thing is.
So you have been in the position that you have been in at this church for more than a year.
Just barely made it past that 1 year mark.
Just 15 years.
15
which
years.
On average, youth pastors last under 2 years now. So the youth pastors are one of those people that don't tend to last very long. But you're at 15 years with all of this. This is not something that, like you were just saying, that came really quick on you, but the unique thing about this is, so tell us what your plans are from now.
Sure. Can I just say, first, the 15-year thing, I watched this morning as Sam Edwards walked in, and I remember, I was still a college student, and one of the very first things in youth ministry that I did here is Sam's mom called me and asked me to give him drum lessons, and Sam was like this tall. And so every week I would set up these drums, and we got to this point where his parents were like, well, how's he doing? We want to purchase him like a drum set for Christmas. And I was like, yeah, I think Sam has many gifts and talents and skills, but I got to tell you that drumming is not one of them. And I would not, as a parent, spend money on that. He can't hold rhythm in his pocket. So that brought me joy. When I saw him walk in this morning, I'm like, oh, Sam, I remember when I had to listen to you hit drums for like an hour every week. What's scary about this for me right now is that the phrase that I'm using is I jumped without a net. I don't know what the next thing is. Please hear me that I'm not leaving Mac Free to go do this. Like, that's not, I'm just desperately trying to follow the Holy Spirit in this and be obedient to the step that's right in front of me. And so that's what I've done. And so it's so hard to talk to people, to even in giving my letter, well, I don't know. I know that this is the next right thing, and past that, I don't know.
Give me some reasons why you're not doing this. So what are some things that It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. I mean, what are some rumors that are going to fly around?
You know what's really fun is that the interview has been different in all three services. So it's not like, I got it. By third service, you would think that we'd have this worked out. And Pastor Dave is like, no, we'll see. I'll ask you different questions every time to just see, to watch you sweat. Yeah. Here's what I need you to hear this. It's not, there's not anger. There's not bitterness. There's not scandal. There's not, I don't know what other bad words you want to put in the end of that sentence. It's none of those things. It is, if you talk to me on a good day, on a day when I'm following Jesus well, it is, I have peace in my spirit. Like, it's just like, this is the next right thing. And I don't know why. I don't know. But I know that this is where the calling is taking me. I say that because there are other days when I take my eyes off Jesus and I have these feelings of, what did you just do? And so if you maybe talk to me on one of those days, just remind me to put my eyes back on Jesus, because I need it.
As do we all. Lord Jesus, we come before you at this moment and thank you for the way that you interact with each of us. And it occurs to me, Lord, even as we do this morning, that you are a God that is extremely personal, and even a part of our private moments. And I would pray for those right now, Lord, that you are trying to speak to and guide in different ways, that you're trying to get them to step in a new way. Maybe you're trying to get them to step out in something that you've trying to been whisper in their ears for a while. And Lord, I pray for those that need to hear you clearly. I pray for the Fleming family as they go through this and all of the unknowns that are in this. And I ask, Lord, that your peace would be present through all things. Lord, we are committed to minister to all ages of people at this church, and we're excited about that responsibility, and we look ahead not knowing, so we look ahead in faith that you have all things in your hands. So I thank you for the example, for the ministry that has been here through Zach and his family for years. And I thank you, Lord, for the impact that has had in so many different lives. Now, Lord, continue to be you. Continue to do that in our midst. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, good morning, church. Would y'all stand and worship with us? All right, this is a fun song. So can we sing with some excitement today? With joy for the Lord.
Your breath. shackles of my lungs, and now I'm free, now I'm free. Sin has lost its power, and death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victoriously, and into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame, by the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. And into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame, by the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. Death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, amen. Victoriously, into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame, by the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. Into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame, by the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way.
Savior's love for me. Amen, church. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope or without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Forever to the King of Kings. Y'all, I don't feel like we're done. I want to sing the chorus one more time, and I want it to be the voices. And just sing to the Lord. Sing it out. Be proud. Praise the Father. Praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, thy
thanks forever to the King of Kings.
Father, thank you. And I can't explain the feeling of hearing your children praise your name, of being gathered together as the body. What joy and encouragement that is for us, and how desperately we need it now. Let us be the church that comes together and declares how great you are day in and day out, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. You are God, and you are so deserving. Thank you, God, for the blessing that it is to worship you. We praise your name, Jesus. And we all agree. Amen.
First John, the first chapter, 5th through the 10th verses. And this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. If we claim. Fascinating passage of scripture. As we're going through 1 John during this journey, I find myself at an interesting place. I find myself looking at what's going on in the world around us and in the nation around us. I find myself looking at the news and at the stuff of life. And I'm wondering about my role as a pastor and my role as a shepherd over a church and my role in the midst of the stuff. What is it that really needs to be proclaimed? And I want you to be aware of something that is a growing passion in my spirit. You don't need to know one thing about my opinions. Not a thing. You don't need to know about my interpretation of current events. You don't need to know my take on the current events. What we need to know is the person of Jesus Christ at work in our lives, no matter what is going on in the events around us, correct? What we need more than anything is the Word of God dwelling within us and somehow living through us. We need that. So here's the deal. I want you to be aware of the fact that there's something that is taking place. Are you aware of the fact that there's something that is taking place this week in our nation? So let's say that it's that event. It's right where that chair is. So here we are as a church, kind of going through our existence, and we're coming to this event, and we're reading the news, and we're watching all of our favorite things, and we're getting our opinions, and we find our favorite clip, and we put that on Facebook, because everybody knows that if you put your opinion with a favorite clip on Facebook, it will change everybody else's mind. All they have to do is read that, and they will instantly go, "Thou art wise, I will now change my opinion to what you said." So we're going through all of this stuff right now, and I'm asking the question, what is the job of the church here? What is our job right now, what is the job of the Church of Jesus Christ in this event as we're going through the stuff that we're going through in the world, in the nation, in our city? What is the job of the church right now, knowing right well that there is an event that's coming up Tuesday? What's the job of the church here? Pray? Devote? Love? Look at what our role is. Now, I want you to point. So that's the event Tuesday. Everybody knows that we're not going to find out Tuesday. Oh, probably not going to find out Tuesday. Here we are on the other side of that event. No matter what takes place on that event, what is the job of the church on this side of the event? The exact same thing. This event has absolutely no impact on the kingdom of God. And we need to hold really tightly to this. It is important for us as a nation, and you can have your opinions and your views on which way things should go, and you may be right. But I want you to know absolutely every opinion that we have about the government right now is temporal by definition. Because this kingdom will pass away, but there is a kingdom that will not pass away. Correct? Let's live that kingdom. Let's live that kingdom. Because after Tuesday and whatever else is going on over there, the world desperately needs to see a church, don't they? So we start with this. We start with this message, and Pastor Justin last week went over the introduction, and I've got it kind of in outline form. It's kind of hard to outline 1 John, but I'm taking a stab at it. And this is an area that has a pretty easy outline to look at because there's three different things. And as we go through it, I want to go really, really quickly. I'm going to give you lots of scriptures. If you're a note taker, please just write down the reference. I'm going to go really, really quickly through this, but I want to throw a lot of word at it this morning and let the Lord apply it. This is a message we have heard from Him. The hymn is, this is a message we've heard from Him. Who is the hymn? Jesus. This is the message we've heard from Him, and we're declaring it to you. Now, the you is a group of believers. These are people who are in the church. These are people who have faith in Jesus Christ. This is not an evangelistic kind of writing. This is not, we want to convince you that Jesus is the Christ. These people already believe that Jesus is the Christ. The problem is there are some problems within the church of people looking at things different ways in the person of Jesus. So there are some people that are questioning His humanity, and some people are questioning His divinity. And so now John is writing to kind of clarify some things. We want you to know we've heard from Jesus. Remember, as Pastor Justin was talking about this last week, these are things that we've heard with our own ears. We've heard it. We've seen it. And we've seen it on a surface level. We've seen it deeply. We've touched. We know this stuff. This is personal for us. This is what I want you to know. God is, I'll just stop right here for a second. Let me do some rapid fire scripture for you. You will see, if you follow through scripture, much of what scripture does is this beautiful picture of God revealing Himself, showing His nature to those created in His image. So the statement God is something that is all through Scripture. Let me give you some quick examples. In Deuteronomy, the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. Go ahead. Go to the next one. For your Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. Keep going. My flesh and heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my... Now, stop right here for just a second. If you were to go through the book of Psalms, I think I've talked with you about this before, but this would be a great experiment for you. Read through the book of Psalms and look for every place where you hear that phrase, you are my, or the Lord is a, and look at the personal kind of ways that God is described all the way through the Psalms. It's this beautiful picture of who God is. Look at what he says there. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Go ahead. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Look what happened there. You see how he's describing who God is? And based on who God is, this is what my response is. There's a hint in that you need to hold on to. Based on who God is, this is how I will respond. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. The Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. God is truthful. God is faithful. God is just. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, please, students of the word, you know what I just did is just grabbed references based on a few different words and pulled them completely out of context. And I'm aware of that. In each of those settings, there's something that is taking place. And there's something, a reason why all of a sudden this description of God is really important. And I would suggest to you that's the discipline that we really need to develop, is to be able to go through the situations that we're going through right now and fill in the blank of God is. Because the more I know about who God is, the more I can embrace the mysteries and unknowns of life. The more that I know about who God is, the more the mysteries and the unknowns of life don't freak me out. Look at what Pastor Zach is going through right now and fill in the blanks with this. There's that almost Abrahamic kind of go to a land that I will show you. What land? It's that way. That's all the information you get, you know? This stepping out, and the more that I know about God, the more that I can step out into the unknown and do so with faith because I trust in the God that leads and guides me. The more that I know about who God is, the more I can embrace the mysteries and the unknowns in life, and the more that I can respond to what Jesus is up to in my life. The more that I know about God, the more I can respond to what Jesus is doing in my life right now. Even if right now is a season of I want to go deeper than unknowns, a season of quietness. You know, one of those seasons where it feels like you're really not hearing from the Lord, or what you're hearing from the Lord, you really need to find this place of discernment to know. The more that I know about God, the more that I can sense what Jesus is up to in my life, and I can respond. So he lets us know that God is light, and that's really important. I want to declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this is really crucial to understand the role that God plays in being light. This is the first thing that God created, the first thing that happened in creation in Genesis where it receives the statement, it was good, is God spoke and there was light. In other words, what happens is when God proclaims, God will proclaim in the direction of light. Do you get this? The word that God speaks will be in the direction, in the pattern of light. He will lead us towards light. And I would suggest to you, even when God spoke in statements of judgment, he does so through the heart of drawing people back to the light. When God proclaims, he proclaims light. And when God shows up, his presence is light. And where God is, there is light, there is revelation, there is an understanding. Not about the big, deep mysteries, but the understanding of what is known about God becomes known in a deeper way. Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That picture looking forward to what Jesus is going to be. John's Gospel, the first chapter, second through the fifth verses, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What I want you to watch for, and we're going to do this as we quickly go through this morning, there are so many places that we see in 1 John, we see echoes of John's words in the gospel. And I want you, as you go through 1 John, look for that. Watch and see there's places where you see that while it's a different kind of writing, you will see the consistency of, wow, that showed up before. It's a beautiful picture. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, I just jumped ahead. I don't want to jump ahead. And in him is no darkness at all. Let me get back to where I belong. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited? Isaiah, the 60th chapter in the second verse. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears to you. In him there is no darkness at all. Watch and see what God is doing. What he is doing is shining light. The one who spoke light into being has sent his son as the light of the world. You need to understand something about God and darkness. God does not negotiate with darkness. Think this through, because we are master negotiators when it comes to, we negotiate with God. It's not that bad, really, is it? God doesn't negotiate with darkness. Colossians, the first chapter in the 13th verse. Listen to these beautiful words. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's a beautiful picture of the work of the Lord. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's pulled us out of the dominion of darkness. Watch and see that where you see God leading, where you see God moving, it will always be pulling us away from. So what John is doing in this for the church is he's addressing some claims that are already in the church, things that are there. Things that people are saying, and he really needs to address them. And I would invite you to stop and think about what would some of the claims be. If John were writing the church today, what would be some of the things that he would fill in? But let's just stay with the context of what's happening here. If we claim, and the assumption is that there have been those that did, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and by default, that means with him and others. Do you remember what Pastor Justin talked about last week in the first few verses? In the third verse, he talks about how, and our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and we invite you into fellowship with us. So there's this picture of when I'm in fellowship with God, by default, I am in fellowship with people. I'm in fellowship with God's people in this. And so if we claim to have fellowship with him and by default with other people, we walk in or live daily. It's this picture of this is something that is part of my life. I'm walking in darkness. We lie and we do not live out the truth. Look at what the statement is there with living out the truth. The truth isn't just something that you know. The truth is something that you do. The truth isn't just something that I think about. The truth is something that is a way that I live. John's John's Gospel, the third chapter in the 20th verse, gets this beautiful statement in there. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds would be exposed. But whoever, look at the line, lives by the truth. You see that? That ongoing process, lives by the truth, comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. There's no hiding here. We claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we live in darkness. We lie and don't live in the truth. But look at what he says. But if we walk, see the walk word again? It's that process, that journey. If my journey is in the light as he is in the light, two things happen. Number one, we have fellowship with one another. And number two, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins. God's people said amen, didn't they? I mean, look at the weight of this. Now, I've got to say something just in heart with it, and in part with this. As we get to that word fellowship, and Pastor Justin talked about it a little bit even last week, if we have fellowship with one another, this is something that right now, I don't know how to unpack all of what we're going through as a people and as a nation, but one of the things that I'm wrestling with so deeply is, what does fellowship look like now? How do we do fellowship? How do we do interaction? And we're all different types of people. And by nature, I am one of those guys whose love language is physical touch. That's just part of what I'm about. And it's fascinating to me how many times I just, by default, when I meet somebody, I want to shake their hand. That's just part of what you do, isn't it? I miss hugging people. I'm concerned, honestly concerned, and I don't just say this from my preference point. I'm honestly concerned with what I even see, even in our public gatherings of the church, and I want to be sensitive to social distancing and mask wearing and all of that other kind of stuff. But friends, we are in fellowship with other people. And I'm concerned that we can come, we can sit down, we can listen to what we're supposed to listen to, we can get up and leave, and we don't interact with each other. We've got to find ways to interact. Those of you that have been at this church for a very long time, and you need to know that there are some new people that are coming to the church. God is reaching new people, and there's wonderful things that are going on. If you see somebody that you don't know, find a way to be gracious and reach out to them. I don't know how we're going to do fellowship and interaction. I don't know. I just know that it's got to be done. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we're working on is we want to look ahead at even at greeting. And if you're somebody that would like to be a greeter and just welcome people into the building, we've got three different services. I would love for us to have people that help us set the atmosphere of, this is a place of fellowship. We want to do things safely. We want to do things in a way that is respectful to all. But please, this has got to be about interaction, because part of what you need to understand in the fellowship is that we all have a shared problem. The problem is sin. And part of what fellowship is that we have the same problem, but we all have the same solution, and we respond to Jesus Christ. And we all have come to Christ the exact same way, through repentance and faith. What that journey looks like is different, but we've all come the same way, haven't we? We have a shared problem. We have a shared solution. And not only do we have that, we have a shared journey. We're all growing in Christ together. Some are quite young in their faith. Some have been walking with Jesus for a long time. But we have a shared journey. Not only do we have a shared problem and a shared solution and a shared journey, we have a shared destination. And this is beautiful. This is what fellowship is. Look at what we have in common. I don't care about what our differences are. Look at what we have in common. If we have a group of people that have that in common, we can overcome everything. God is light. Pretending won't work. John, the 8th chapter, 12th verse, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will never walk in darkness. Claim number two, if we claim to be without sin or we refuse to admit that we're sinners, and there's claim number two and claim number three kind of look alike, but they are different. This is at its very foundation. This is, I claim that really the human sin problem isn't my problem. I'm a pretty good person. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Look at the difference there. Do you remember last time? The truth is something that I lived out. And look now what he's saying now. His truth is something that is in me. It resides within me. So which is it? Is it something that I live out or is it something that is in me? Yes. As a matter of fact, you can't have one without the other. If the truth is in me, it's going to be lived out. If I'm living out the truth, then obviously it has to be in me. If we say we're without sin, self-destruction or self-deception is always the prelude to self-destruction. Self-deception is always a prelude to self-destruction. If I live in this world where I will not acknowledge the truth, then I will find myself destroying who I am in the journey. The example that I've used is on my motorcycle, the speedometer goes to 200. Now, all you have to do is look at it. It's hard to know when you get up under 100, over 140. It's hard to know what your exact speed is because there the numbers are really close together. So if I live with the reality of the motorcycle tells me that the top speed is 200, and since my motorcycle has the potential to do that, obviously what I should do is let the motorcycle live to its fullest potential. I can handle it. I can handle going 150, 200 miles an hour on the highway on a motorcycle. It's self-deception leads to self-destruction. I am honest enough to acknowledge to you, I cannot handle it. We will not talk about what speeds I can handle. I'm just telling you, I cannot handle 200 miles an hour. Self-deception leads to self-destruction. We can't make our own facts. If we claim to be without sin, the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's this beautiful picture of no matter where you are in your journey, no matter what's going on in your background, there's no sin that is too strong for the grace of Christ. No matter where you are, if you're even listening online this morning, no matter where you are in your journey, if there is sin in your life, you need to know that God is greater than that sin. There is nothing that is more powerful than the grace of God. And so if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive those actions, those sins that are part of our life. He will erase that. He will forgive that. But not only does he do that, he purifies us from all unrighteousness. In my theology, that takes it even deeper. Not only does he forgive me for the acts, but he also is somebody that can take away the unrighteousness that brought me to those acts. In other words, what God can do is take away the power of sin in my life. I had an Old Testament professor who opened his class with letting us students know I commit adultery every time I want to. And that was the reaction that the class had too. All of a sudden, it got really quiet. Where are you going with this one, Old Testament professor, sir? I commit adultery every time I want to, but I serve a God who is faithful and just, who will forgive my sins and purify me from all unrighteousness. He has taken away the want to. My life is fully surrendered to Christ. I don't want to. So part of purifying me from unrighteousness is there's this cleansing that takes me a little bit deeper in my journey so that the attraction, the draw of sin is something that he has power over also. Claim number three, really quickly, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We claim we have, and this is more looking at specific acts. If we claim that there's not things that I have done that add up to sin, we make him out to be a liar because he has sent his son to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. And so if I claim that I haven't sinned, then I am claiming that the whole journey is wrong. And that God's whole system is messed up. And he's not telling the truth about what the human condition is. So we look in summary. I want to look at what sin does. Look at what his claims, what he did. What he did through this. In that first claim, it makes me lie to others. If I claim to have fellowship with him and by default with others, yet I live in darkness, I lie and don't live by the truth. This is where there's this hypocrisy that it's something that I come maybe even to this place and I pretend that there isn't sin in my life. And I pretend that there aren't things that God is dealing with. And I pretend that I have victory over things that I know I don't have victory over. My fellowship with others, as well as God, my fellowship with others is deeply impacted. Sometimes what sin does is it makes me lie to others. That's hypocrisy. Sometimes what sin does is it makes me lie to myself. We deceive ourselves. Remember in the 8th verse? This is deception. It's not that bad. It may be a sin, but it's not as bad as. And sometimes what sin does is it makes me lie to myself, and then there are times that sin in my life makes me call God a liar. This is heresy. This is just saying that, God, your whole plan doesn't work and there really was no need for Jesus. I don't need Jesus. It's a painful, painful reality, but I want to get to good news really quickly. I just have to close with this, my friends, because this is such a heavy way to look at these three different claims. I want to really quickly jump to good news in Ephesians 5:8. You get this beautiful picture of God's wonderful plan for us. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Please look at those words and let them sink into your spirit for just a minute, because look at how deep this really is. You were once, and you know what I read when I do that? When I read that, I supply the word that isn't there. You were once in darkness. I want to supply that word, but that's not what he says. You were once, at one time in your journey, you were people that, it by definition, because you're separated from the person of Christ, you're living in darkness. You might be living, but it's living in darkness. And the amazing thing is, this isn't what God has for you. This isn't what God wants for you. But now, circle the greatness of that. Highlight that. Look at the change that happened. Now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. This is what you were, but now you are this. So live as this. Here's where I land with this, where it is just so intense to me. And I've hinted at this before, I think, but I just want to say it just as bluntly as I can. I'm shocked by how shocked we are by sin in the world. I'm shocked by how offended we are as Christians when people that don't know Jesus live like they don't know Jesus. That's really fascinating to me, how unglued we come over people that are doing exactly what the nature that is guiding them would lead them to do. And may I suggest to you that part of the reason why the people that are living in that darkness aren't really attracted to the light is because we're busy pointing fingers at them because of them being what they are. And what they are is being in darkness. And rather than judging, my friends, those are the people that we are to be shedding the light to and showing them this is what living for Jesus looks like. So I'm shocked by how frustrated we are when darkness behaves like darkness. And even more so, I'm shocked by the fact that we are not shocked by the darkness that is inside the church. This is astounding to me. The fact that somebody would say, and this has happened this week, that someone would say, I don't go to that church because X amount of years ago, this person said this to me, and I will never set foot in that church. Do you know what that's called? Unforgiveness. And you can paint it however you want to paint it. It's sin. I'm shocked by what we allow inside of the church. I'm not as shocked by what's going on outside of the church. I'm amazed at what is causing people to say goodbye to their church families. I used to wrestle with the fact that I don't know what music to pick because I can't seem to pick music that pleases everybody. I mean, music was a big deal. And then now, we have people that will or won't go to church because of our position on masks. Really? I'm amazed right now at the division that is happening in the church politically, socially. I'm not shocked by the world, but right now I am shocked by some in the church. And as heavy and as frustrating as that sounds, I want to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. Do that. Be the light that Jesus Christ wants you to be. Put some of your personal stuff aside and show the light of Jesus Christ to people. I believe that Jesus Christ can heal, can pardon, can unite. I believe that Jesus Christ can do all kinds of things. I believe in the work of God, in the work of the Spirit. I believe in the movement of the church. And I'm suggesting to you, friends, that it's possible that we might not have been doing it right all this time. And maybe we need to get more grounded in who we are, in whose we are, and what we're called to. And then as we do that, then the very things that we're worried about that are pulling us apart and that are frustrating, it could be the very things that bring about revival in the church. It just could be. Look into the second chapter, the next couple verses. My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That's where we're going next week. Two verses next week. What I would love for you to do is spend this week with the Word. Spend this week looking at those two verses. Dwell on those verses. If you've been in a position where you're kind of focused on people, can I ask you to just, no matter where you are in your journey with God, can I just invite you this week to just write those two verses down? Camp there. Lord Jesus, thank you for the weight of your word. Thank you for John that would write this write this challenging, these challenging words to a group of churches. And now, would your Spirit do the application that only your Spirit can do? Even now, Lord, it's amazing to me how much of what lands in our spirits are just lies of the enemy. And so now shine your light. Shine your light, Lord. Will you empower us this week to be children of light no matter what? Will you empower us this week to be the light that you have called us to be? You have said you are the light of the world. You've also called us to be the light. Now would you shine through us? Lord Jesus, if there are those right now that are struggling with sin that's in their life, I pray that they would take that profound step of confession and full yielding to you so that the power of that sin can be broken in their lives. Draw us together. We claim that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, would you please? May the Jesus of light be light in your life this day. May the Jesus of light be light in your life this week. And may people see that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to talk or pray, friends, I would love to.